If President Bush does decide to go ahead with an invasion of Iraq, one big question is, would he need the approval of Congress to do so? The Washington Post today reports that the White House lawyers believe the answer is no. And with me now to discuss this are Robert Turner of the Center for National Security Law at the University of Virginia School of Law. Welcome to the program, Mr. Turner.
Glad to be here.
And Louis Fisher, Senior Specialist at the Congressional Research Service of the Library of Congress. Lou Fisher, welcome to you.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask you first, Mr. Fisher, the argument that we read about in the Washington Post, the claim that we read there, is that people at the White House say that the 1991 resolution that was approved by Congress authorizing the Persian Gulf War still holds, so there's no need for yet another visit to Congress. Do you buy that argument?
I don't buy it at all. I think the only thing the 1991 resolution did was to authorize the president to get Iraq out of Kuwait, and to argue as the White House does today would mean that somehow Congress in January 1991 transferred its war powers to the Security Council, and whatever the Security Council does by resolution opens up future military operations. I just think that's a terrible argument.
We've heard citations of the War Powers Act that if there's some action that lasts for 2 or 3 months, that wouldn't require any vote of Congress. Therefore, a quick action against Iraq would not require such a vote.
And I think it was intended to allow a president for the 60, 90 days to do short-term actions, but certainly not major wars.
So in your view, in short, as a matter of constitutional law, does he have to go to the Congress?
I think as constitutional law, both for the war power and the spending power, he needs to get another statute.
Robert Turner at University of Virginia. First of all, that argument about the 1991 resolution authorizing the Gulf War still stand in your view?
I think that Lou's right, basically. I think if you read the language carefully, it excluded the authority to use force to restore peace and security to the region. So I don't think that's a strong argument.
And the War Powers Act, you see the same muddy light that Lou Fisher is
describing? It's very clear to me that the War Powers Resolution was not intended to convey authority for anything. It is so flagrantly unconstitutional that I think it's an irrelevancy. Indeed, it's worse than that. It was enacted as a fraud to mislead the voters, and so the sooner buried, the better.
So does the president have to go to Congress to invade Iraq?
In my view, no, is a constitutional matter. I think the framers chose a term of art from the law of nations, the term declare war. That had a very clear meaning, and it was always associated with what today we call aggressive uses of force, major aggressive war. I think the president has constitutional authority, assuming he has money and forces, but for prudential reasons, I think it would be very wise for the president to go to Congress and try to get a vote.
But Lou Fisher, as you say, those are pretty big assumptions, assuming he has money and forces.
I think there are two problems. One is that the framers intended Congress to be the one to take us from a state of peace to a state of war. That's a war power issue. Also, the war in Iraq in 1991 was about $61 billion. It's about $80 billion today. Most of that was paid by allies. You'd have to argue that President Bush today can start a multi-year, perhaps a $100 billion commitment on his own. I just think that's a really poor argument constitutionally.
I remember broadcasting and covering the Senate debate in 1991, and I recall actually that Senator Gore of Tennessee was the rare speaker that day who said, "I'm going to vote for this resolution, and it obviously means we're going to war." He distinguished himself from dozens of his colleagues who said, "I'm voting for this, but I hope that this doesn't mean we're going to have to go to war." And there seemed to be, when the Congress actually came to grips with an up or down resolution on going to war, a lot of evasion of what they were actually doing.
Yeah, that's been the classic rule. It's very sad. There's a history behind this. In the Taiwan crisis in 1954, Congress passed a resolution authorizing the president to defend Taiwan. Mao backed down. In the 1957 Mideast crisis, same thing, it worked. In the Cuban Missile Crisis, 1962, Congress passed a resolution, it worked. So by 1964, Congress said, hey, this is an easy, no-cost thing. After Vietnam, Congress has tried very hard to avoid any accountability. They don't want to say you can't do it. They don't want to say you can do it. And it's been the irresponsibility of Congress, in my view, that has poisoned the system more than anything else.
Lou Fisher, what about Robert Turner's view there, that the power of Congress, as it may be required by the Constitution, has been so banged up and abused in recent decades that a president can be excused for wanting to avoid it?
I don't think he can excuse. This is a democratic republic, and I think presidents have to come. to show that the country is united and the two branches are, that there's no distance between the two of them on this one.
Well, gentlemen, thank you both very much for talking with us today. Louis Fisher, Senior Specialist in the Separation of Powers at the Congressional Research Service, and Robert Turner of the Center for National Security Law at the University of Virginia Law School. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.